Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. My guest today, we both go back a long way on the radio. Her name is Carolyn Valley. She is the executive director of Habitat of the Berkshires. And I will say this because it's very true. This lady took an acorn and made a big oak tree, and that is Habitat for Humanity. What she's done in awareness and giving people homes, teaching people financing, she's one good person. And without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my friend Carolyn Valley. How are you, kid?
I'm good. Thank you for those very kind words. You know what I'm really excited about is we are getting ready to close on our 52nd house.
Wow.
52nd, 52. And we have five in Pittsfield that are under construction now. Wow. And we have another 10 starting in Housatonic and another 10 behind that.
Wow.
So, you know, we're really pushing hard.
Yeah.
The Secretary of Housing has said, do more, do it better, do it faster. So we're trying to do all of those things. And we switched to using modular homes because they already come.
Yeah. Yeah.
80% complete. So you can get them done in about 4 months rather than a year. So, you know, it's a little concerning with the costs with potential tariffs and stuff like that. It's making the affordability much more difficult to make. But, you know, we have over 100 applications right now, and many of the folks that are applying, they don't meet the minimum requirement for housing, and they all want to own a home. And it just breaks my heart that there are so many that just through circumstances aren't going to be able to make it. So we're really launching on trying to encourage people to go into not just our financial education, but also some of our workforce development programs.
Oh,
because
we feel like
we can approach it from two ways, right?
Yep.
We can try to keep the houses as affordable as possible, but you have to get people's incomes up with good paying jobs and skills that will make it so that those two things can come together. And that's our big thing that I'm working on every day now.
To my viewers and my listeners, do you see why I think the world of this lady? She's got a global vision, a global view, a global understanding of the Berkshire County, and she takes advantage of it and uses it to help people. Isn't that wonderful? Helping someone rather than putting them down. We should try.
It's a good way of living. I was thinking about this yesterday or on Easter, because I like to send out cards and stuff. And I was thinking about it being like a time of renewal and re-energizing. And for me, recommitting to making sure that every person I come in contact with feels better for the contact, not worse.
Isn't that? Yeah. Now Carolyn, I don't want to embarrass you, but these are the kind of people that should be in politics. It should be in running our corporations. It's not the almighty dollar. I mean, we all would like a few more, but you know what? In the military, they used to tell us improvise and overcome. This lady has been doing that since 18 years she's been here.
Yeah.
I love the ones that are on East Housatonic Street, that the house that you built on. I can't remember that street.
Gordon Deming.
Yes. What beautiful places they are, Carolyn.
Yeah, they really are beautiful. The ones that we just finished on Robbins are really beautiful. Same thing, Anoda, those will be done any day now. They'll be closing by the end of May. But one of the things that we really enjoy doing this time around is when we had our open houses, when people would come through and talk to us about like, what did they like or what did they didn't like? A lot of people that have never lived in a single family home, that's their dream. But unfortunately, with land cost and all of that, we started imagining what could still make it a condo unit, but feel more like an individual home. So we took the input. We then had our architect draw up a picture. It's two single family homes that are connected by a covered walkway. So it still meets the criteria for zoning. It still gives us two units of housing on that property, which also keeps the affordability for each family down.
Yeah.
And we put that out and we've gotten such a positive response of that. And it's all because we took the product, we brought it back to the people and said, what do you think?
Like,
that's how real businesses are supposed to do it, right? They're supposed to go back and see if the people want the product you're producing before you produce it. So that's going to be our model on any of our condos moving forward. Our single families, we have some variety to choose from down in Housatonic. We're going to have some ranches and some two stories because we're seeing a lot more aging population that don't want to do stairs.
You're looking at one.
I know. I wish I didn't have to do stairs, but.
Well, you know, I mean, going back, the evolution of this, I think is an interesting topic. You know, when you came here 18 years ago, when you heard Habitat for Humanity, everybody thought of Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. He put a lot of effort and a lot of his life into it. Then you came and you and I were on the radio for the first time about 18, right after you got here.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I'm hearing, hey, did you hear about Humanity? They're bringing people in to do this. They're doing financial counseling for people to teach them how to budget. And here it is 18 years later. You look the same. I've aged. But
well, thank you for saying that.
No, but seriously.
My hair is definitely gray now, though. It used to be blonde.
Well, at least you got it. What's been the most challenging for you personally?
Seeing the disparity between the demand and what we can supply. And ever since COVID, the construction cost gap gotten so wide. I mean, it used to be, you know, it costs us this much and I could sell it for this much. Now it costs us this much and I'm trying to sell it for here. Because one of our things, as you know, is we think that the people live and work in Berkshire County are the fabric of the community. You know, we have Head Start teachers, social workers, you know, people that are firemen. We have firemen that have purchased homes from Habitat. We need these people in our community. And if we can't provide housing that they can afford,
absolutely,
won't stay here. And then that hurts our entire community. So that's something that, you know, I'm always concerned about. Like, how do we continue to make sure that people that are really the fabric of the community can stay here, can continue to provide services and make this community a great community that it is? I mean, I know people are like, but you know what? I would rather live in Pittsfield than anywhere else. I go many places on, you know, work trips or whatever. Yeah. And I always say, could I live here? I live here? And at the end of the day, I'm like, I love Berkshire County. I love being here. I love working with my community partners and my my Habitat family, because we all have a common goal of trying to make our community the best that it can be.
Absolutely.
And you don't see that in other places.
No, you don't. And the other piece is, and I, like you, have traveled, I've lived all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's no place like home. And I've lived in a variety of places in this country, Texas and Arizona and Kansas, you know, and it's always home. And people, I get a little bit like you, I get not angry. I get disappointed in people who are throwing stones at Pittsfield and all the good. You know, people forgot for years and years. It may still be. I don't know. But we had the largest indoor ice skating rink in the world. At the Boys
Club. I didn't know that. At the Boys Club.
Third floor, which is an engineering mass. Think of the weight of that.
Yeah.
And we had so many things for kiddos to do. Our schools, you know, right now everybody's beating up the schools. Well, I got to tell you, Oh, let me do this first. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, no way, represent the school department, the school committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the person riding their bike north in the southbound lane on North Street. Follow the arrows. It's not complicated. You know, as you do know, I worked with violent youthful offenders. Schools can only do so much. And for people to look to schools to raise their kiddos, that to me is an unfair task. Yeah. But we won't stay there. So tariffs. We might as well talk about it because everybody I've had on, the not-for-profits, they're going to feel it, and the giving's going to go down. And you know, golly, you've been in the game a long time.
Well, I can tell you that we got notified by our modular company. Now, they know the exact cost of what they're building.
Exact.
Yep. So they came back to us and said, you're going to see a $37,500 increase on each of the modulars. Now, that does not include the HVAC system, the EV system, any of that. So we're trying to figure, and I know we have a great concrete company that sells us concrete at cost. And they said, that's a 6% increase you're going to see on the concrete. So now you got 37.5 on the modular each unit. Then you've got 6% on the concrete. And there's a lot of concrete in your foundation. There's a lot of concrete in there. So when you start magnifying all of that, but the people that need to live in these homes, they have not seen that increase in their wages. And employers right now are struggling to figure out how are we going to make our payroll as it
That's
is.
Right.
I know a lot of nonprofits are very, very concerned. We have an AmeriCorps Workforce Development Habitat Build and Repair Corps, and Washington just cut 85% of the people running that program. And that's a program that is the most cost effective because the young people, because they're almost always young, those young people coming in are getting paid less than minimum wage to serve in poverty communities. Yeah. And it's 3-to-1. The value of their work is 3-to-1. And that's what is decided to be cut. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And it's at the cost of usually lower to moderate income people are carrying the brunt of all of these cuts. And that is, I wish I had a magic wand and could do something about it, but I feel like the best thing that I can do is keep doing the work that I do for the people I do it for in the most positive way.
Yes.
But it's hard, though, when you see what's going on for your staff, their concerns, what's going on for their families. I mean, Head Start, I love the Head Start program. I was on the Head Start board for many years, and now they're under attack. It's like, what will happen to our community if our children are not educated? I mean, it's people need to stand up and say, no, this is not okay.
I'm so disappointed. I had Ilana Toscanini on yesterday with Michaela Donovan. And I have to tell you, I worked for UCP, as you know, and I know the weight of not-for-profits, the demand and the ability, sometimes cost, separate those two, what they want to do and what they can do. And I say this to the general public. I agree with Carolyn. Why go after the poorest of the group here when you have, and now they're debating. I heard this morning on a bit, I had to shut it off because, you know, I'm about a half a bubble off a plum as it is. So, but what they're talking about, well, we can't tax millionaires and billionaires. Really? So what are you going to do? Beat up the little guy who's barely scraping out a living for his family or, excuse me, her family? Yeah, what you do is, don't take offense at this. I know some people will all hear about it, but it's God's work. It really is. It's helping the people. I saw it at UCP. People who are so thankful for the least little thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I've been back in the days. I know a couple of the people that bought your houses, and you think you gave them the moon.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that people don't always know, first of all, you know this, that we don't give the houses away. We sell
right,
them
right.
at an affordable price with an affordable payment. But what we have seen is when they get into stable housing, their kids go to school, yeah. their health is improved. Now, we just had a family that the son, the oldest son, who graduated college, has a good job locally. Wow. And he called me and he said, guess what I'm doing? I said, I don't know. What are you doing? He goes, I'm buying a house. And I said, you're buying a house? He goes, yeah, I'm buying a house for myself. I was like, that's great. He goes, I'm so sorry, though. I can't buy it through Habitat. I was like, no. I want you to be able
that's
to be
right.
That's
oh,
like,
how
saying
wonderful.
That the work I'm doing, you know, is doing it. That's... And he said, yeah, because I make too much money. Because he got a good education. He had stability in his life. So he doesn't get like fuel assistance. He doesn't get any of that. He yeah. is a productive person in our community. His mom and his brother still live in the Habitat home, still maintain it beautifully.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they just do exactly what we think will happen. So every time I hear people or run into people, I'm like, oh, what? You know, I don't see them as much as I used to. So I saw someone the other day. She was one of the first homeowners. And she goes, yeah, I'm a traveling nurse now. I do great. Both my girls have graduated college. They're oh. doing great. So we know this works.
Yes,
so we need
too.
To invest in empowerment programs that help people get stability, strength, self-reliance, because they're the ones that are going to come back. And we have them. I have one of my homeowners right now. That's here. Thank you. That's Aaron's dogs. Whenever anybody wow. tries to come into my office without an appointment, that's what happens.
Well, I'm not. You don't have to worry about me. I run from them and they catch me.
So that's really what we want.
Yeah.
To see that the work that we're doing is moving people forward. And most nonprofits, that's the scenario that we see, is that their lives are better because they partnered with us and they've moved their lives forward. We didn't do it for them. We got beside them. We gave a resource. It's a hand up, not a handout.
Exactly.
And they made,
exactly.
you know, and they contribute back.
Yeah.
And really, like, what more do we want than people that are contributing back to the community as good community members?
And from my background,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here listening to you, and I think of this young lady, the Polish princess, and I knew her. She was in a program here, and her father, they were evicted Christmas Eve day. Because the father drank the rent. And she went on and busted her tail as a waitress, got to college, and graduated as a RN, and is making good money. And when I see her, I just am so proud of her. You know, and that's what you see. These people come, you teach. Here's part of the problem, and there's a lot being said about schools today, so I want to be careful. I don't want to criticize.
Mm-hmm.
But basic finance, budgeting, I think that's coming back. When I was in school, we had that.
In fact, yeah, we were talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
You know, they also had back in the day, because we're working with another, with a enterprise community enterprise, I think it's called, to try to find out why more people are not going into the electrical and plumbing trades. So we're hosting events, we're having think tanks and whatnot. We had one last week, and it was really wonderful because there was an electrician there that we brought there, and he said what his pathway was and what his challenges are as a master electrician who owns yeah. his own company, you know, like, how do we get more people in? And what we basically said is, it's a long learning curve. You have to learn yeah. a lot. You have to do a lot of hours. But is there an opportunity for people that are older that have some maturity to them, right? They know how to like function in life to go back and learn those things locally right here in Berkshire County? Because in order to get that training, you have to go far away.
Yeah.
You're providing for a family. You already put in a full 8-hour day.
Right, right.
How are you going to then drive to Springfield or someplace else, do a program at night, come back and do it all over again with the kind of hours that you're required to do? So these are things that are top of mind now, because that's one of the other things that's increasing costs is and time to build, because we don't have enough folks here to do it. So I really am very appreciative of the people that see a problem and say, like, it's not enough to see a problem and complain about a problem. It's like, let's think through what could be. Let's get some facts. Let's get some figures. Let's think about the possibilities. If we work together, how do we solve this problem? And we have a lot of people in the Berkshires that think that way, that work that way. And that's one of the things I think makes the Berkshires really strong is this cross collaboration that you don't see in a lot of other places. We're not competitors always. We're coalition team members.
Yeah. Yeah. We're a team. When people, when you see what happens in the Berkshires, and a lot of people do things and they want it quiet because they, they're not doing it for fame. Fortune, but somebody has their house burned down. The next thing you know, there's a fundraiser at Berkshire Hills or the A or somewhere, and it raises thousands. Or they get furniture, or they have a sick kid in Boston, and they get the money to stay in, which is very expensive in Boston. All I can say is you're an integral part, in my opinion, of this giving of Berkshire County, giving of Pittsfielders, looking at it. I used to work for a boss, and you'll get a kick out of this, Carolyn. He used to say to me, I don't need to know the damn problems. I want your solutions. And you know, he was a bear to work for, but boy, I learned a lot. You know, don't come to, he knows the problems. Come to him with, now he may say, what are you, nuts? And of course, that was an established fact with me. So, no, but seriously, and you're the same way. You find the problem. And I do want to give you the credit I think you deserve. Carolyn has been here for 18 years. Is it safe to say, without hurting anyone's feelings, that I wouldn't do that for the moon? We have to think about where it was when you got here. It was an organization, but you've made it into a community of people. And that, you deserve a gold star for that. You know, when I was in Catholic school, they would give you a gold star on your forehead. I never got one if you were good. But I'll give you the one I should have gotten. The challenges now, I mean, I listen and I get discouraged. I had the not-for-profit yesterday. I have you today. Folks out there, please, please, write your congressman, the two senators, I don't know. But we got to slow this up. I mean, the people who need it the most will be hurt the most, in my opinion. And Carolyn, if you disagree,
it also hurts people that, you know, they have professional kids that want to come back to the Berkshires.
Yeah.
They can't find reasonable housing.
Right.
And if you're an employer and there's not reasonable housing for somebody to come into, then you're going to find it very difficult to attract new employees. Like, it's really an ecosystem that if we don't address it, we are not going to be able to be the vibrant community that is continually moving forward. Because, you know, like we're saying, like, what can the Berkshires look like in 20 years, right? Looking at it from a positive lens, what could it be? It could be a community where everybody has a chance to thrive, have good housing, have good healthcare, all of that. But it means we all have to be working in alignment, not in silos, just saying, together, you know, I can give this, I can give this, somehow we can give that. And we work with the residents because our focus should be on what do the residents want to see happen.
Exactly.
Right? And like, I just love whenever we're putting something together, we think about it first. We go to the people we serve and say, what do you think? I don't think that that is the hardest thing that, you know, to do. It takes time.
Yeah.
And it takes getting the word out. And that's why we have community navigators who have been so important.
Oh, they've been amazing. Oh, they've been amazing.
Just been so helpful. To be able to be that connection in community where sometimes, like, I have my one community navigator that lives right in the west side, and she'll be out on the weekend with her kids in her yard, and people will stop by to tell her what's going on and what they need help with or whatever.
Right.
And she never says, no, I'm off the clock.
Yeah.
She always says, tell me more. What's going on? You're right here. You know, she'll be in the grocery. It happens to both of us. We joke around all the time. We can never go into the grocery store and just pick up a thing of milk. And no, you're in there an hour. But I feel like it's important, right? Because I'm serving a community and I need to know what they need in order to help and to get their perspective on things. And I think that that's super, super important.
And you have the personality to do that. You know, I mean, in case the audience can't tell, I really like this lady. You are very approachable and have been since the moment we had our first interview, you know. The stories you're telling now about the tariffs and the increase, and, we it's not going to help people if we can't help them. I use this radio hopefully in a positive sense. You know, I people say, why'd you have them? Why'd you have him or her on? They have a right to be on. It's Pittsfield Community Radio. You may not like them. You may not like their costs, but they have a right to be on. You can't believe the heat I took for having the standout group on a couple Saturdays ago. In Park Square.
Yeah.
I couldn't get them on because this will play next week. And they waited till the last minute. So I took all their stuff and I posted it on my Facebook.
Oh, that's good.
Pages and oh boy. But
yeah, I
have a right to say what they want to say.
That's what you fought for, right?
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. I mean, people that served in the military, and three of my nephews served in the military, and my father served in Korea. So what he would always say is, I don't have to believe in what everybody else stands for.
Right.
But I have to believe that I fought for their ability to stand for something.
That's perfect. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's my sentiments. I don't even have to like you to have you on this program. I think the world don't take that personally, but there's people I've had on this program that, and they have a right. They have a right. And like, people have a right to be home and have a home, a safe home, get their kids the education they need. You know, my background working with some really tough, tough kids that couldn't read or write.
That doesn't set them up for, that hurts community as well as themselves. Yeah.
Sets them up in prison where they were. So,
yeah.
You know,
and
when
that's a sad situation.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here in just a minute. I am with Carolyn Valley, one of my favorite people in the world.
Thank you.
And I've got other friends that aren't in the world, but they talk to me in the morning when I'm shaving up here. No, seriously. Carolyn is a giver. You know what my saintly Irish mother used to say? Willie boy, there's two kinds of people in the world, givers and takers. That lady is a giver, and I do anything to support her and her efforts. We've known each other a long time. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are also simulcasting down where they're building houses in Housatonic on FM 88.1. So we're down there now, and we are so happy to be able to help that and be part of that community also. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
WTBR FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. That the good-looking lady you see there, and she is good-looking. Her name is Carolyn Valley. She is the executive director of Habitat for Humanity for the Berkshires. And I will tell you, I've known Carolyn for 18 years. I think I did one of the very first interviews she did when she came on board. What she has done for Habitat for Humanity is nothing less than stellar. She has taken it from this little organization she has, and she's going to tell you, they're building and where they have built houses all over Berkshire County. Not just Pittsfield, but before I forget, because you know, at my age, I forget where the refrigerator is. And that's unusual because I'm usually hungry all the time. There was a house, I believe it's on Richmond Avenue at the corner of Richmond and Pontusic.
By the church.
Those people keep it up beautifully.
Yes.
Because I go by it a lot. And every time I do, I think of you. I say, oh, there's Carolyn's house. Her house, but.
Yeah, and she's super wonderful. She works at the Department of Motor Vehicle, and she has a daughter, and she also adopted her niece. So she's brought her niece into the family to provide stability for her niece as well. Yeah. She is so good at caring for her house. She's a great community member. Whenever I have a question about something at DMV, I call her up and she walks me through how to do it. And, you know, we were helping out the community when licensing non-English speakers. We were running workshops on how to learn, not how to drive so much, but how do you pass the test and all of that. And that was really important work because that allowed people to get insured, have the, you know, God forbid, if anything were to happen, there was an accident, you want to make sure the person's driving is allowed to do so you're the person hit, you know. But they were able to get to work and all of those things. And that was really, really important. We just finished up a very successful tax season.
Good.
We had over 800 and some people got their taxes done, many for multiple years. And sometimes people don't recognize that if you don't get your taxes done, and then you want to apply for FAFSA for your kids to go to college, you have to provide a tax return. So if you didn't do that, then that makes it difficult for you to get that. So although we are so lucky that Berkshire Community College has so many free degrees right now, that if you have a kid that's under 26 that's not gotten a degree, want to encourage them to get in there and take advantage of that, because we all know what student loans are doing to our young population.
I'm not going to repeat it because I can't remember it specifically. But what's owed in student debts is huge.
Yeah.
We've had
people, when we look at whether or not they can afford to buy a house, because their student loan debt is so heavy that they won't be able to afford to buy a home for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it puts them out of home ownership. And the rents are so high right now, too. I mean, I was just looking at the fair market value published by HUD for a three bedroom. It's $1,856. You can purchase a Habitat home for under $1,856.
Yeah.
So, you know, we really have to take this housing. I mean, when they say housing is at a crisis level, they're not kidding. It's a real thing.
Here's what bugs me, though, and I share this with you because you're in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a lot. Like even in Pittsfield, they say, well, we're an aging community. What are you doing to address that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like when, not Pittsfield, but nationally, there's a housing shortage. Okay, Congress, what are you doing to address that? I don't care about, and I know this doesn't sound right, but I don't care about some of the things they're working on. It's not going to affect me or mine or the general populace.
Yeah.
The people who look to these people to help them with their lives, to solve their problems. I mean, even locally, the city council, they're active. They're good. We got a good mayor who's out there and doing and we had a good mayor with Linda Tyer and Danny Bank. But the world is evolving, and you're living in, you and I are living the evolution of the world.
Right. And we spend a lot of time trying to think about, you know, what is the best option for maybe an elderly person that has a big house. So a little while ago, through the housing bond bill, they're saying that you can build accessory dwelling units.
Oh.
Well, that's all well and good if you can find a vehicle to finance them.
Yeah.
And the cost is not cheap for accessory dwelling units. We were going to try to test a pilot on it, and the numbers just don't work, especially because of the new tariff stuff. But, you know, so the idea was you could maybe sell the big house to a younger couple with kids, and then the elderly person could live in a, you know, the accessory dwelling unit that was more for their size and everything. And some people were proposing, well, the elderly person could be the landlord, and that's a burden to put on somebody that has not done that work before.
Absolutely.
Back in the 80s, I was a landlord, and it was the worst. It was just terrible. First of all, back in the day when I was younger, I believed everything anybody told me as to what the problem was, why they couldn't pay the rent. And I'm just not like, sorry, you got to pay your rent.
Right.
And that makes it very difficult to then maintain the house and everything else. So anybody that's thinking about being a landlord, there are landlord education classes and certifications. If you're thinking about a multifamily unit to purchase, take those classes, please, because it'll open your eyes as to what you're getting into and prepare you to be a better landlord and get better tenants, so it ends up being an economic boost, not an economic drain.
Yeah, and as we talk about more housing, you know, there are a bunch of alternatives. You thank you for having the foresight to buy the pre-builds.
Yeah.
That's what I call them. You call it, what, the modulars? Is that what
modulars,
you call? Yeah. Because think about that. You got a modular, boom, you drop it down, you put the wires, you put this, you put that, you put that. And next thing you know, people are moving in.
Yeah.
We need housing. Carolyn, in the first half of the show, really articulated why. Because our kids need good housing so that they'll come in. She gave a wonderful story about a woman who's got a house, moved in, the kids graduated, went to college, I can speak to it from a criminal justice point of view. If you don't have stability in your young life, in your young life, where mom and dad are not available to do anything with you because they're trying to make a buck to live in the wherever they lived. I can remember my good friend, Sal Garazzo from UCP.
Oh, yeah, I remember Sal.
Yeah. I'll never forget, he came in and he was visibly shaken. He said, I just went into a house And we've got to help get these people out of this apartment. It's dirt cheap, but they only put the heat on during the night or day. I can't remember. I say this to landlords. These are people. They're not they're not a dollar sign. So, and I understand, believe me, my brother-in-law had a place years ago and the people didn't pay their rent for like 9 months. And he finally got them. It took 9 months to get them evicted.
Yeah.
Before they left, they destroyed the plumbing, then called the health department, said there was no. Yeah.
So one of the things that we feel strongly about is that if you can, and we're really lucky because 413 Upswing, what used to be Berkshire Housing Mediation.
Yeah.
We've got some really phenomenal people working on housing preservation.
Oh, cool.
And doing tenant law, not at Habitat, but in Hearthway. And that's important because what ends up happening is oftentimes you end up being fight. Instead, what we oftentimes will do if people come to us and they're complaining about this and that thing, we try to bring them both to the middle, right? And say, like, if you pay your rent, they will have the money to fix up the apartment. So it's got to, you know, like you have to understand the other person's perspective. And sometimes we get so entrenched in our own stuff that we don't think about, well, what's the other guy's perspective? You know, why did they buy this house to begin with? I had one of my tenants said to me one day, well, you know, you're the big landlord. And I said, do you know, I took out a mortgage to buy this. I said, and here's why I did it. I hoped that I would make enough on my home, on my rental units to send my four kids to college. Like, that's why I was doing it. I wasn't doing price gouging. I was being a responsible landlord. I was always trying to do the best, not just for my tenant, but also thinking about why did I do this to begin with? And it does not always work out, you know, but you got to keep trying. You got to, you know, you got to try to meet people in the middle and say, what can we do together? So, because it's also miserable when you're fighting all the time. Yeah. Fighting all the time is not a great place to be.
No, and if you want to do that, run for Congress. Oh, I didn't. Did I say that?
Yeah.
But you know, Carolyn, I asked you, what's been the most rewarding for you?
I think the most rewarding for me is when I see the families years later after they've been to the house. And, you know, they have a savings account. They have, you know, they've done beautiful work. They put in gardens in their homes. Yeah. Their kids are going to college. I get invited to a lot of high school and college graduations. One of our families that's a firefighter just had a second child. They have a little girl now. And I just think about, like, I had a little bit to do with that, you know, and they're living a better life because of the work that we did here together. So that's most rewarding. I love seeing, sometimes people aren't ready for home ownership, but they need that little bit of education and guidance to get them to the next level and seeing the growth. Like at Habitat, we never say no. We sometimes will say not now, but here's the pathway to get there.
Right.
And sometimes people's pathway is a couple of years long. And it's like, okay, let's help you draw the plan out. And then let's have check-ins to help you get there. Because there are always challenges. And there are so many people in our community that have had really, really tough lives through no fault of their own. But they are incredibly resilient. They care about their neighbors. They care about their community. Yep. And they're just trying to put one foot in front of the other to get ahead. And, you know, when I see people that have been able to do that, I'm so excited for them. And I just feel like we can each offer something to somebody. If you see somebody struggling, a little pat on the back doesn't hurt. You know, a kind word doesn't cost you anything.
No.
But treating people with dignity and respect is free. It just means you have to be conscious and being thoughtful about how do you want to deliver that.
And you know, you've done it so well, and you're non-judgmental of people who come to you, and you tell them what they have to do. And then when you see them doing it, you embrace them and bring them along even further.
Yeah.
You know, and you said it earlier, and I was going to say it, but you said it first. So people don't misunderstand, because believe me, there's people who hear what they want to. This is not a hand out. There's no free lunch. It's a hand up. But here's the caveat. But they work with you to develop the skills you need to get the hand.
To be successful. Yes. Because, I mean, a lot of times people can buy a home, but if they don't know how to handle finances, if they don't know how to maintain the home or care for the home, then it often will either fall into disarray or they'll end up losing the home. And really what we think part of our job is not just building the house, but building the community in which the house is in and building up the skill sets of the people that are going to be there. So it can be a successful ownership opportunity because that's where wealth generation comes from. For most people, you know, you can't save enough. I mean, I'm not a watch the stock kind of stock market kind of person. But when I had my home, when I sold my home, that's where I have enough money, you know, set aside maybe to retire someday, not in the near future, but someday. But that's how most middle-class people have money at the end is from their home ownership. If we have people that never got a chance to get in on that, they are not going to be able to live on just their Social Security and all of that. So it's really a future-oriented thinking process that you have to go through when you're thinking about home ownership. And I'm not saying home ownership is for everybody.
No.
I mean, I had somebody the other day that sent in a request and they are lucky to be on a Section 8 program. They have some disabilities and they don't pay anything for their housing because they make so little because they're living off of SSDI and they're elderly. And she goes, but I would love to own a home. And I said, I know. But I don't want to do anything that puts you in a worse position
than you are.
So this is good for you. This is a good thing for you. And you should continue to think of that as this is a good thing for me. And not worry so much about the stuff you don't have any control over and just be able to enjoy what you have going on. Because there isn't a magic thing out there that's going to make it better for you. You know, because a lot of people are making under $15,000, $20,000 a year. You can't even cover your taxes and insurance when you make $20,000 a year.
My mother had a sister who never owned a home. Her and her husband would prefer to rent because they didn't want the burdens, and that was the word, I'll never forget, burdens of owning a home, shoveling snow, mowing the lawn. But my upbringing was just the opposite. You save, you save, you save. And I when we bought our first house, Jimmy Carter was, the interest rate was like 14, 16% or something. And 20% down.
Yeah.
You know, and we saved it. I mean, we scrimped, we saved. And I'm not a martyr, but that was our desire to have our own home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so many things, and Carolyn articulated them use one family as an example. Stability of a home is kind of a basic of life. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I should have thought of it, but you know what you're dealing with here. But I did a survey of violent youthful offenders before, and over 85% of them viewed a home as a physical building. When you say to me, like coming home from Vietnam, I'm going home, it's a whole different scenario for me. It was family, friends, shelter, so, Carolyn, if you would just be with the lady with the one that bought the house, had the daughter, adopted the kiddo, do that scenario for this half, because you did it for please.
Well, are you talking about that? Or are you talking about the family that the son went on to buy his house?
Oh, do that one. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So this particular family was the first handicapped accessible home that we had ever built.
Wow.
Because, and I think you saw pictures of the place she was living in.
Yeah.
And she is disabled and cannot even turn doorknobs.
I know.
And we had reached out to her landlord at the time and said, can we at least come in and put a little ramp in? And
he wouldn't
have it. So they had water running in the inside of their building in the walls to the electrical outlets. And I literally built every night. I would say, oh, my God, please
don't
let anything happen to that family until I can get their home built. So the two sons worked. They went to school. They worked on the job site with our construction crew every single day that we were working. And we were able to complete that ranch in 7 months and get that family in there. And that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the things that the mom had said was in the early days, she didn't know if the kids were going to be able to graduate high school because they had missed so much school because the place that they were living in was filled with black mold.
Yeah.
They kept having lung issues and all kinds of stuff like that. Once they got in their new house, their health improved. Both the boys ended up completing high school, then going on to college. And now the oldest one, who works at a good company here in the Berkshires, and he just bought a house of his own and called me to say, I'm buying a house for myself, but I can't use Habitat because I make too much money. And he goes, I'm sorry. And I said, no. This is why I live to do this work. It's because we see people moving themselves up. And every time you talk to any of the people in that family, they always say, thank you for giving us the stability of ownership. We didn't have to worry about what we were coming home from. Our house was always safe.
Yeah.
We knew where we were going to sleep at night. And that has made all the difference for these young people. Yeah. And the mom, too. And we see this happening over and over and over again. It's not a one-off. It's a product, I believe, of stable housing. Because what we've learned during COVID, when so many people had to stay home, and if you didn't have a home or you didn't have the stability of home ownership, you know, things were pretty tough for people.
Yes, they were.
Our folks ended up doing really well. We had no foreclosures or anything like that during the COVID crisis. And that's, you know, because we really make the payment reasonable to begin with. We only use a 30% payment of what your gross earnings are, where, you know, banks will do 33 or 36%. We think it's better to have a more manageable payment because when life happens, you've got a backup plan, right?
That's exactly right.
And teaching people about saving and putting aside for a rainy day or a rainy roof or whatever. So all of that stuff is such a critical, important part of it. And I'm just really glad that we're building at the pace that we're building at. I wish I could do more. I wish we could have more staff that would help with that. We are looking for volunteers starting in 2 weeks to help with some builds. So if you're interested in learning and working through some stuff, I know a lot of the folks that are applying will be working on site. So you can work hand in hand with volunteers and the homeowners that will be purchasing those homes, which is always a cool thing to get to know somebody's story and to be their journey and their story is always very rewarding.
And I would volunteer to help you, but my wife has hidden all the tools.
You tell me that all the time, so I'll give you a break on that one. Did I not mention the Restore It All, Bill? I know I usually do a plug for
It's right on my notes. We love Restore, the Polish.
Thank you. It's at 399 Hubbard Avenue. It's open Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
You can call the 443-2106 if you want to do a donation of good, usable, saleable things.
Yeah.
You probably have seen on Facebook that we've had a lot of dumping, which has really caused us to be really concerned about whether or not we're going to be able to keep the Restore open because the costs are rising at such a high rate. And, you know, the whole reason that we have the resource, yes, we're here to help the environment,
right,
but more importantly, it was here to help build housing. So if, you know, if that trend continues, I don't know what will happen
around that,
which would be a very, very sad thing.
That's a shame,
yes. I know a lot of people
purchase stuff from that. We just needed this or that. And we went there and looked first, and it was there. It was in good shape. Let me just caveat, jump on here for a minute before we have to go. Don't call them to pick up junk.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't, because it costs us money. And if nobody wants to buy it, then it doesn't serve the purpose that, you know, we have. And we know that it's very difficult right now. I know I've been talking to people at Goodwill. They're having the same problem. Is since those textiles are no longer able to go in the land, this is no longer. And I think what some people with a good heart are thinking, well, somebody can use it. I'll just bring it there.
Yeah. That's not
helping. And we know that it's a short term help to the individual dropping it off, but it is not any kind of help to the organization that has to deal with
that. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very careful what we bring to Goodwill because when we pull in, I look at the dumpster and I'm thinking, who would have sent it? Who? I mean, I don't have that kind of courage, you know, to send junk. For people that want to help you, can they send a check to Habitat?
Yes, that would be wonderful. Our P.O. Box is 2717 Pittsfield, Mass. 01202. You can also go on our website, berkshirehabitat.org. Donate here if you want to do it in online format. We can also take donations at the office if somebody would like to drop off a check. We've been having a lot of folks recently that are donating stock to us, and we have a platform to be able to do that. And also, quite a few people now have included us in their will, which is very nice. We're thinking about the future, they've really liked what we're doing, and you know, they might not have family to give their stuff to. Yeah. And they said, you know, we want something that we know is going to be there for the future. And we think housing is the way to do it. So that if anybody is interested in doing that, they can call me at 413-281-5051. That's my cell phone number. And I can walk people how to do that. And you can volunteer. You can call 442-3181. I think it's extension 7, and talk to Mike, and he can get you hooked up to do some builds. And as soon as the spring is really sprung, I know that we'll be having a lot of nice days, both in Housatonic to volunteer and in Pittsfield.
And tradespeople, people who are skilled in the trade, they can always use your help.
They can always.
Please, it doesn't have to be a commitment for life. One project, a couple of days, a month, whatever. But
please help. I appreciate bringing that up, Bill.
No, please help them because, like Carolyn is saying, by helping them build a house for somebody, you're helping somebody you may never meet, may never know, but in your heart, you're going to know every time you drive by that house. When I go up East Housatonic Street, I say, that's a house. My wife said, I know. You tell me every time we go by. When you get to be 78 years old, you can do that. Carolyn Valley, I think the world of you. And I don't want
I appreciate that.
Well, I don't want you to take this as a threat. But one day there'll be a knock at the door down there at your office. And guess who it'll be?
You. Yep. Yay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, your entire staff. Everything you do every day. And I was so excited to have you back on.
Well, I was so glad we ran into each other. It's good to be back on.
Well, you'll be back on again. And I say this to everybody, and I know some of you get upset, but God bless, because I believe in that. And I will also say this. Be good to somebody today. Help somebody lift their burden. Give them a smile, wave, do something positive. There's enough negative. You don't need to be a part of it. And remember, we're all in this together. Let's help each other. You'll find out one day you'll need help, and there'll be somebody there, God willing, to help you. Carolyn, think the world of you. Have a great spring and summer.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
You bet. Take care.